Hello, this is Dave Crowder, and this is the 5th of July, and I'm sitting here next to Jeff Porter. Say hello, Jeff.
Hey.
And Jeff's a good friend now. I've known him for about 5 years, and he's probably one of my main teachers of drumming, and I've only been doing drumming for about 10 years. So, Jeff, how long have you been doing it?
12 years.
12 years.
Only two more.
Okay, yeah. I can remember, like, a while back, a couple of years ago when you were here and you had mentioned that you wanted to be a musician and that you wanted to be like the best drummer you possibly could be. And it was like you'd made a life decision, you know, instead of like something else, you know, I'm going to be a musician. So I just kind of wanted to interview you since you're a good friend and, you know, this is going to be an easy interview, I think.
Yeah.
So let's start with like, what's your musical influences? Just in general.
Let's see. I'd say they go back pretty far. When I was in like fifth or sixth grade, I became friends with this black dude named Jamar. He was like my favorite person. And we were best friends for a long time growing up. So I got really into all kinds of hip hop music when I was in fifth grade through like, I still am, but.
But you're a hipster.
I'm a hipster. But like hip hop and rap music, I was really into gangster rap and I had my hair cut like Vanilla Ice and stuff. And
that's hilarious, Jeff. I didn't know that.
And I was like really into choreographing dances. When I was in middle school, I got really into choreographing dances and like winning. I'd win all the dance contests at my school.
That's great.
And in middle school. And so, like, that's where I got started. I feel like some ways as I get older, I feel like I'm more of a dancer in certain ways. But that was my first musical influences. And then I started studying with this guy, Sean Layton, who passed away. He was Jacob Fred, Jazz Odyssey's first drummer.
Oh, okay.
And he was a schizophrenic, like, total musical genius, like, composer and... He was amazing, and he had this West African class, and I got really into drumming through that. So I just like, actually the drummer from Widespread Panic was the first one that got me, like, I was like, I quit doing drugs when I was like a junior in high school, and like drumming was the thing that came up to me, like when I quit doing drugs, like drumming just kind of found me. And so...
Took you to different places in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And so I studied with this guy and he committed suicide like 4 years after I started studying with him. He was just really troubled dude, but total genius musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've known a few of those.
Yeah.
So the intro song that we had, you know, just before this is Gaga, right?
Yeah.
And that's like... where does that come from? What's that influence?
Gaga's originally from Haiti, but then I think it came over to Santiago,
Cuba. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then all those songs, Jan Stop Me, all those.
Yeah. So it probably took a while before you went from the Jacob Fred Odyssey drummer influence and then going all the way to the Haitian and Cuban, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was 2 years, maybe.
Just only 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so
and
you
then
had
I
a
got
quick...
really into it.
Yeah, all right.
And then I went to Cuba, like, 3 years after I started, or 2.5 years after I started, or something.
Yeah. And so, like, after that, what was his name again?
Sean Layton.
Sean Layton.
Yeah, he has an awesome CD. I gotta give you this CD.
Yeah.
But he has an awesome music that he wrote.
Uh-huh. Now, after Sean, then what happened next?
And then I went to Cuba.
And then what was your influence? I mean, why did you decide to go to Cuba?
I'm not sure what, I just got into, I was young, so I was into like anything that was drumming.
Yeah, and you just wanted to travel somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love the Cuban stuff, but I didn't, know how deep it was or anything. I was just like so into drumming that I was just like,
yeah,
I'll just go to Cuba. So that sounds good.
Did you study with any famous Cuban musicians while you were there?
Roberto Vizcaíno, like, he's one of the most famous like rumba or players in general.
Yeah.
From Cuba. And then this guy, Sergio, I forgot his last name. That was a main guy I studied with. And he was like a composer for Irakeri and big groups.
Yeah.
Like
that. Okay.
And he was hilarious. He was badass.
Yeah. So, and who do you consider your main teachers?
I would say definitely Jans Ingber.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know who that is, he's a guy who had a lot of influence here in Boulder with musicians in Boulder.
Yeah.
And he lives in Portland now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And so
he was in the band
The Motet.
Motet, right?
Yeah. And he's played with everybody, Nora Jones and Charlie Hunter and everybody you can think of.
Uh-huh. And you kind of pattern your singing after his style, right?
In a certain way, because I've heard him sing the song so many times.
Yeah.
But he's him and Gary Greenberg.
And Gary Greenberg's in California?
Yeah, in Nevada City.
Yeah.
And so he was a big bata teacher, and this crew from Austin, Texas, John Spies, that lives down there, he's another really killer drum set player. And they have this really cool bata crew down in Austin. So I go down there and study with them as much as I possibly can. And they just flew in Spyro just for like four drummers. They just flew him in to do like 8 hours intensive with Spyro. It was amazing. It was really intense.
So Michael's one of your big teachers too then?
But he's a big influence. He's like one of my heroes for as far as what I want my life to be about, because he's somebody that I like his communication skills and how much he's been such a huge impact on the Afro-Cuban music. Mine won't be as much in Afro-Cuban, I don't feel like, but just as far as how he's promoted himself so well, and he's so amazing at getting his points across. And
Yeah, he's awesome for sure. You know, I look forward to taking some of his classes.
Yeah,
this summer when I go there. So, do you have any discography out there? You know, some discs or things to look up where they could like see or hear some of your stuff you do.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I've recorded on some good albums, but just like little band Rewake that I played with was this fun party band, but it was cool. It was definitely a cool band. So any Rewake stuff. And then this guy, Jared Tyler, I recorded on his CD with Emmy Lou Harris was on it. And the horn players from Paul Simon's album, Graceland, were on it. Like almost all Paul Simon's band seemed to be on that album. And he's an amazing singer-songwriter, Jared Tyler. And then this other guy, Jesse Acock. There's this really cool scene in Tulsa of singer-songwriters that are really cool. And then I record with Jesse Acock, and this girl I'm starting to record with here in Denver that's really amazing, Laura Goldhammer. She's doing really creative stuff. And then you can just look up stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, he's not kidding. I mean, it is very creative. I had one, what was it, the eggs? I don't know, something about eggs. It was hilarious.
She does all still life stuff on the computer that goes exactly with her songs, like in time. She has all this still life art that goes like exactly with the song.
Yeah.
it's really cool stuff. Look at my stuff on YouTube. I have like that cha-cha loquafoon stomp because I perform so much in the schools. And then Skin Phony is my percussion ensemble that does all kinds of
different. And how do you spell that?
Skinfonia.
Okay.
Skinphonia.
Right. And then the other one was what now?
I get on YouTube, you'd have to type in Cha Cha Loquafoon Stomp.
And how do you spell that?
CHACHALOKUA. Then Stomp.
Okay.
Cha Cha Loquafoon Stomp.
Okay. So, where do you think you're headed with, you know, your music and, you know, where, what are you going to do with the influences that you have? You know, you just went on a trip to South America. You want to talk about that? And then, like, how you're putting it all together. Where do you think you're going to go with all this? Or do you have an idea? You're just living your life.
Nah, I have a lot of ideas.
Do you have plans?
I have plans. I was in Brazil just studying Pandeiro. That was pretty much it, because Pandeiro's people are doing so much killer drum set stuff on that instrument that I wanted to get at least decently solid before I left on it. And so my main thing is, for me, I feel like I look at all the, I love all the folklore music, but it's not my like main passion or anything, but I feel it's a passion for me as far as like opening doors for other players to become like way better at what they do. Just people that have the understanding of that music seem to play just with this deep feel. So I'm passionate about the music just for people understanding the concepts on a deep level, because once you understand those, I feel like you can play some grooving ass music.
So it sounds like you're really heading into teaching the music more than you are like being like, let's say, a big musician playing somewhere. Or do you want to meld the both?
I want to meld the both, basically, but I feel like teaching seems to be, I love teaching a lot, but I'd like to, I feel like it's was a good training ground for like what I want to do, because I'm still really into hip hop music and all kinds of crazy music, and I love just bringing my knowledge of this music and using it for whatever I play. So
yeah,
so I'd say that I really want to start like this hip hop R&B group, and like with 4-part harmonies and like using buckets and stomp as the drums and using all kinds of really weird stuff. And I have this whole vision of it, but it always takes a lot of work to put all this shit together. But that's kind of where I see it. I like to have a couple really cool performance groups, and then just tons of teaching. Like, my goal is to be teaching across the country and maybe the world. Like, just that people would want to fly me out all over the place to teach. That's kind of my goal.
Because you're so awesome. Exactly. Like Spyro.
Like Spyro.
Yeah, I get it. So, you know, Jeff was a teacher has been a teacher for this, we call it a beginner class. And they're not really beginners. They've been playing for a good amount of time. But they're kind of the lowest rung, I guess, of the of our rumba group here in Boulder. And he's been carrying these buckets and boom whackers, these things called boom whackers, around the back of his car, like ever since he's been here this summer. So you were talking about teaching, and, you know, so that definitely brings to mind what you've been doing in the classes that we've been in, you know, since you've been here this time.
Yeah.
And he just all of a sudden showed up with boom whackers and buckets, and, you know, it's like the first time I've seen these things. So you want to talk about that? Like, how is that helping out your teaching, and, you know, what's the idea behind that?
That's it. I just had them in the back of my car because I just got 10 at this Jewish camp. They hired me to teach this, like, 5-day camp.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, I got to bring these to Boulder because I'm sure I'll be teaching that Tuesday class. But I like people to understand the concepts, because not everybody's, like, going to be, like, gung-ho nerded out about being a badass conga player and doing it. Everything Afro-Cuban or whatever. So I always like to use all kinds of different stuff, because I can't stand teaching beginners that don't want to learn. So with buckets, you can just hit the middle and have a bass, and hit the rim and have the slap, and you can have all these different tuned buckets, and I feel like you can get people to progress a lot faster, because it's such a pain in the ass, like, teaching technique. Like, especially when people aren't that motivated to do it, and like just how long it takes. I'm down for teaching people technique if they're like really nerded out about it. then I'm totally into doing it. But like teaching whole classes, it's just like it's just a lot of fun to do it that way, and to be able to teach people just the concepts really deeply till they're ingrained in them. Then if they want, they can use it in any way they want to use it. Or
yeah, so you like the idea then is to leave out drum technique completely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So the, like, there's no drum technique at all in your teaching.
Yeah.
It's just about the rhythm itself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then you can bring the rhythm to another, to any drum or clapping or stomping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff's really into stomp.
Yeah.
You want to demonstrate that?
I wish.
No, you don't want to demonstrate it? All right. He's just playing his legs there. Right. You know, you've been a lot of places. You know, you want to mention all the places you've been?
I guess I haven't been too many. I mean, I studied in Rio for 6 months and then I studied in Havana. I was just there like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, Havana and Rio.
Yeah, okay. As far as out of the country.
Yeah.
But then there's so many people in the U.S. you don't...
A lot of places in California.
Yeah, California's been my other main one, probably.
Right, and so you want to just like kind of end this with your sort of the philosophy of the blending of, you know, all the different styles?
I started out West African, then I know a lot of stuff from the Congo, because my buddies put on this Congolese camp for like 20 years or something in Nevada City, and in Maui, they have one camp in Maui every year that's like... It's really fun. The Congolese are really intense, but they...
And that's the Ngoma
drums. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really intense drumming, but they do some really cool odd time stuff. And some, just for my buddy Bob in Cali, I've learned so much Congolese stuff. That's the main thing I know other than Afro-Cuban.
The and, Bob that I know?
That's yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right.
So Congolese, West African, Afro-Cuban... And I know a decent amount of Brazilian stuff, and I played Haitian stuff, but just as far as melding, it basically goes back to what I was saying about, I get so inspired by all the concepts of what they're doing and just the feel that these players are playing with. It's like you could count out everything right on, but there's always little spaces in between everything that you can hit to make everything feel totally whacked out, and I just... get so inspired by just the 12/8 bell pattern and everything you can do with that. I still get really inspired by like people learning that, because any musician that knows that shit, it is like, damn, that they're always heavy players pretty much always, if anybody that I know that really has that embodied in their playing. But melding all those styles, I don't know, I just use them for to bring to like jazz music and hip-hop music and any kind of weird stuff I can.
Yeah, well, I guess the reason I bring that up is that you, more than just about anybody I know, are able to play with the style of whatever, you know, the different areas that folkloric music brings, you know, and you can like do all the different sort of feels and the ways that they do it. And then of course your hip hop background, you know, comes through in some of that too. You like when you're playing the Pandera, it's kind of like that bonk, you know, kind of have that style in there. And it's just cool. I've really enjoyed watching you, you know, sort of grow through the years and like bring all these different things together.
Hey.
So, you know, it's inspirational for someone else too. Yeah.
Thanks, Crowder.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. And have a good trip back to Oki.
Oh, you know I will.
Oki Finoki.
You know I will.
Yeah. And we'll see you next year, I guess.
Next year for interview number two.
Yeah. All right. Be well.
All right.
Bobo se pinda, pinda mae bobo, bobo se Okay, bye-bye.